and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Praj Industries Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Praj Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the first quarter of financial year 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. First, we have with us Mr. Shishir Joshipura, CEO and Managing Director, Mr. Sachin Raole, Chief Financial Officer and Director of Resources. Now, without any further delay, I request Mr. Shishir Joshipura to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Good morning, everybody. I welcome you to the Praj Industries earnings call for quarter one, FY24. Thus, all of you had the opportunity to go through our results for the quarter ended 30th June 2023. Last week, Praj participated in the 14th Clean Energy Ministerial and the 8th Mission Innovation Dialogue on the margins of the G20 Energy Transition Ministerial Meeting. Deliberations during the conference were also extended to discuss the formation of a global biofuel alliance for worldwide development and deployment of sustainable biofuels. Several national governments, agencies, industries, and other stakeholders will be the part of this alliance. I'm happy to share that our ongoing partnership with Indian Oil to accelerate India's energy transition towards a greener future stands further reinforced. In October 2021, we had entered into an MoU with Indian Oil to form a 50/50 joint venture for production of various variety of biofuels. Based on approvals from both the boards, we have now signed a term sheet for the joint venture formation. Coming to business performance, we started the FY24 on a positive note with robust order intake and improvement in profitability. This quarter, we saw an increase in share of international order, reaching 35% of the total order book, which is definitely a positive development. We started this year with a healthy order book, and it continued to build during the quarter as well. Owing to differentiated delivery cycles of the order book that we had, the first quarter revenue is not reflecting the annual growth potential of the revenue cycle. Our domestic bioenergy business capacities are continuing to be built around both starchy and sugary feedstocks. Food Corporation of India has stopped issue of rice to ethanol distilleries till further notice. However, the said distilleries can procure rice from the open market. We are evaluating the impact of this decision and watching the developments closely, since the government has clarified that the EBP 20 program continues as per the original timelines. Domestic inquiry pipeline continues to be strong. On the international front, low-carbon ethanol opportunity in the United States continues to develop positively. Currently, we are completing FEL studies for several projects that will translate into firm business opportunities in near future. Argentina has advanced the ethanol blending from 10% to 15%, while Mexico and several countries in Africa are also coming up with specific mandates. Indonesia has another opportunity arising with announcement of 5% EBP mandate for premium gasoline. Our services business is receiving good traction in both domestic and international markets, especially Brazil. We are building a strong distributor network in different markets to offer entire suite of solutions comprising of enzymes, yeast, and performance enhancers. On 2G front, we have established successful demonstration of our N3D process at the IOCL plant in Panipat. Owing to availability of different spec feedstock, our team is now working with Indian Oil to define necessary modification in feedstock supply system for the process plant. As for the CBG, we are beginning to witness constructive movement in the market. Indian Oil has sought EOI to set up 30 CBG plants in the country. We have received business confirmation for setting up 5 projects from a leading business conglomerate to be set up over the next 15 to 18 months with an option for 5 more plants. The execution of the first project has already begun. The business landscape is developing very favorably for our engineering business basket as well. On the CPS front, we have received significant orders from leading CEPC companies focused on oil and gas and fertilizer segments. We are taking special efforts to improve the productivity at our Kandla unit to deliver higher loads starting from H2 of this year. On Praj GenX, we have finalized the location for the managed plant, which will be set up near Bangalore port. A strong inquiry pipeline is building up for the ETCA segment to be served by this facility. Our PHS business has built a very healthy order book for the year 23-24. High-capacity fermenters are witnessing strong traction. With semiconductor space rapidly evolving in India, it will also open up increasing opportunities for our ultra-high-purity water solutions. I am happy to share that the PHS team has received a BioSpectrum Award for the most promising company for engineering solutions and services for pharma, biopharma, and nutraceutical industry. Overall, the business outlook is very positive for our bioenergy, engineering, and high-purity business. Before closing, it gives me immense pleasure to inform you that Dr. Pramod Chaudhary has been appointed as the chairman of the Board of Governors of the College of Engineering, Pune Technical University. Dr. Chaudhary will lead the first ever full board of governors formed after COB became autonomous and got the status of a technical university. With this, I will now hand over to Sachin for his comments on the financial performance.
Thank you, Shishir. The consolidated income from operations stood at rupees 7.36 billion in Q1 of FY24 as compared to 7.31 billion in Q1 of last year. PBT for the quarter stood at rupees 777.03 million as compared to 542 million in the corresponding period of the last year, showing the growth of 43%. Profit after tax stood at rupees 586.72 million as compared to 412.63 million in quarter one of the last year. Export revenue accounted for 17.2% of the quarter. Of the total revenue, 79.7% is from bioenergy, 13.6% from engineering, and 6.7% from PHS business. The order intake during the quarter was 11 billion, with 64.7% from domestic market. Of the total order intake, 60% came from bioenergy, 31% from engineering, and balance 9% from PHS business. The order backlog as of 30th June 2023 stood at 37.78 billion. Comprising of 78.1% of the domestic orders. Cash in hand as on June 30 is rupees 8.13 billion. I now conclude my remarks and I would like to thank all of you for joining us on this call and would now be happy to discuss any questions, comments or suggestions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Prathamesh Sawant from Axis Securities Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So, quickly, one question. Sir, I wanted to understand the export book. So, what are the kind of customers do we have? What's the average order book size that we get? And what are the kind of margins compared to the domestic orders?
So, Prathamesh, if you look at our international business, essentially, I would put it in two categories. One is the business that we get for our bioenergy segment, and the second is for our engineering segment. Within the bioenergy segment, the customers are obviously those who are putting up ethanol facilities or upgrading their ethanol facilities or putting up any of the new facilities around new. As of today, it is restricted to ethanol. On the other hand, if you call engineering, then we work very selectively with some very large technology and EPC companies which are global leaders in their field, especially in field of oil and gas, fertilizer, natural gas, etc. So they are setting up facilities for their customers. So we are not actually serving the end customer. We are serving in between the technology and EPC companies. So those are the two segments that we serve.
Okay, and the average order size for the ethanol segment would be higher, and the margins?
So that depends, I mean, in terms of what is the size of the value. So if I do an SEL study, it probably would be running to $1 million, $2 million like that, if just the study part. If I go ahead and supply the whole greenfield project, then of course it could run into closer to 150 crores kind of level. Remember that in export markets, we don't do any site activities at all. We just supply the critical equipment, technology, and engineering. Now, on the other hand, if we go to the engineering side of business, there again, the order size can vary between $5 million on the lower end to on the upper end. It can even go to as high as maybe $20 million, $20, $30 million per contract.
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, on the CBG front, again, so we are seeing we are gaining traction and we've just got the order for 5 projects. So what is the average order size in this segment and how do we play it? Are we just the technology partners or we are in EPC construction and setup of this project as well?
So the CBG projects that we're doing in India, the model that is emerging in India is that the customers are looking to companies to set up the full project for them. Some other customers may have a different requirement, but this particular customer had this requirement that we do the whole thing for them. So for them, the project size is off the order of 100 crores per order, per project.
Okay. And so finally, just one last question from my side. So in the current quarter, we saw slight lower run rate on order execution. So is it because of the cyclicality or was there some other reason?
No, there is no other reason. It's just that the way our order book that lined up, and you know the project nature of the business. So given the site preparedness, project schedule at the customer's end, and the progress of the project in its entirety, it's just that the execution cycle got so defined that in this quarter we could not. There is no other reason at all.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my end. I'll get back in.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your questions to 2 questions per participant and 1 follow-up question. Thank you. We shall move to the next questioner. The next question comes from the line of Levin Shah from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, very encouraging to see this order inflow from the international side. So we have around 35%, which is close to 385 crores coming from international business. And this has come, this doesn't include anything on the ETCA, right? So one is how we are seeing this ETCA pipeline now developing, how far are we from getting that our breakthrough order, which we have been talking for some time. And second on the if you can throw some light on this oil and gas and fertilizer segments is what we have highlighted. What is the nature of this order and do you see more such orders from this same industry or there are other industries where we are in the free for more orders from the international market?
So Levin, when it comes to ETCA orders, which will be served by the GenX facility, as you would appreciate, there we have a sort of synchronization act to do to ensure that the order intake and the absolute preparedness and start of production at the facility are completely synchronized. There are also steps involved in terms of approval of facilities and customers. So we are going through those steps. So we expect that in second half of the year, we start seeing the ETCA order book build up so that then that can get executed from the GenX facility because once contract comes, we do the engineering, we expect that this facility will be ready towards fourth quarter of this year. But obviously, the order book has to start at least a quarter before that. In terms of the orders from oil, gas, and fertilizer, I think these are the orders where these are segments from which the orders come. But orders are again for what I would call as when they are, so for example, one of the projects is there in which this is a LNG terminal being set up in the United States. Or there is another one in which the technology is available for improving the recovery from the bottom of the cracker units for an existing oil refinery. So there are different applications that are coming through. Again, all of them are in largely aimed at ensuring that there is better recovery of the end product. There is a higher, there is a sustainability angle, or it itself handles the sustainable fuel. So that goes without saying.
Sure. So even within this
industry, these applications as well as we move forward, yes.
So, sir, even within this industry, the orders that we would be getting would be for basically carbon capture or getting the emissions in check, right?
No, these contracts are plants and depends. I can share these many details with you on the phone because it's difficult for me to explain. But fundamentally, these could be equipments which are heat exchangers, pressure vessels, or skids, as the case may be, or a combination of these special purpose vessels, which then go on to be part of the overall process of the plant, which is then put together for either better recovery or a different kind of catalyst manufacturing. It could be different applications depending on what the technology is all about.
Sure.
But essentially, these are all focused on clean technology. As I was mentioning to earlier, that they are all these solutions from our customers are focused on enhancing recovery, on reducing the footprint of energy or of carbon. And there are different steps, right? Biofuels is one step. These are different steps within the existing setup without changing the feedstock in a refinery. What can they do? And these kind of solutions are offered there. So there would be there could be opportunities for many more such solutions.
Sure. Sir, and my second question was on CBG front. So finally now we have seen some order inflow after a long wait, and we have been working on this for some time. So these five plants, the order that we have got, is it already in the order book or it is yet to be booked in the order?
It's not in the order book that we have reported.
Okay, okay. And also you mentioned in your opening remarks that IOCL has indicated that they would be looking at setting up 30 plants. So is there any MOU that we have signed with them or any timeline, and all these 30 plants will flow to us, or is it that this is their mission statement in the sense that they would want to put up 30 plants?
So Levin, right now they have come up with an EOI. You know, it's a public sector, so it has to be open to everybody. So they have come up with an EOI for setting up 30 plants in 30 locations in India. And after the expression of interest, they'll go. They have specified a criteria for selection of technology and partners. So I think we have to go through those steps to see how this develops. But the key point which I actually wanted to indicate was the fact that there is now a definitive movement happening in the CBG market. As you mentioned, that for last almost 18 to 24 months, we have been talking about possibility of development, and now we can clearly see this is a step in that direction as we see that.
Sure. Thanks, sir. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Levin.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Congratulations, sir. It seems that we have been working on margin accretive orders for some time, and we have been successful this quarter around. I hope this momentum continues. Sir, my question is with respect to CBG only. So can you share some more details, like what kind of margins we will be getting? Are they margin accretive to the current order book what we have? And is there any pending thing with respect to why we have not booked it in the current order book?
Shailesh, I'll answer in the reverse order. So we have a very strict rule about how we book a contract. So if I don't get it till 30th of June in a certain advances and contract sign, we don't, even though we may have agreement with the customer, we will not reflect that into our order book. We have a very strict policy on that. So that is how, but it's now moving. As I speak with you, we have spent 3 weeks from 30th June. So now the movement is there. So I'm happy to share this with you. In terms of obviously these, we expect that when we build these programs and these projects, they will be value accretive to the company. Goes without saying. How much? I am not at liberty to say.
Fair enough, sir. Thanks a lot. That's useful. So my second question with respect to our tie-up with IOCL. So after some duration, we have been able to sign the term sheets. So can you share some further details, like what kind of capital would be allocated, or where this will this tie-up would start, you know, fructifying in terms of order inflows, probably FY24-25. You can shed some more light on this term sheet.
Okay, so this term sheet is signed for the umbrella JV. The idea is that under this umbrella JV, we can take up the projects for different bioenergy products. It be it BSA, be it CBG, or be it be ethanol for that matter. So it is an umbrella JV. The term sheet is right now signed. Actual formation of this JV will take somewhere between 5 months to 6 months because there are multiple formalities which we need to take care of. And at the same time, we will utilize this period to figure it out what will be the first project which can be taken up under this JV. As I said, it is an umbrella JV, and the structure which we are working out will be having an element of product by product or bioenergy, different SPVs coming under these JVs. So right now the capital outlays are not yet finalized. It is going to be dependent on which first project we are going to take up under this JV. But the JV, umbrella JV, is going to be 50-50 between Praj and IOCL.
So is it safe to assume that this will fructify in, say, FY25, most likely?
Yeah, project actually execution will take that kind of a period.
Okay. So if I can squeeze in last question. So on benefit on margins, how long do we expect this margins, you know, benefit of commodity price to continue for us since we have fixed price contracts? If you can shed some light on that. Thanks a lot.
So on the raw material side, we have started this smoothing of the prices, and it is continuing for at least last two quarters, and we were seeing that our old orders are getting executed now. Rather, we have completed all our old orders which were having this impact of raw material. Almost all the orders got executed now. Now the new orders are coming up with the new pricing formula and new margin formula. So till the raw material prices are not going to behave the way in which they behaved, we don't see any impact coming up on account of raw material going forward. Negative impact, I'm saying. So margin should start smoothing on account of raw material going forward.
That's not the only reason why you see this margin upset. There is also a concentrated effort we took to ensure that we improve our order book and our execution efficiencies, etc., which all get reflected our supply chain. We have done many. We have taken many steps to ensure that we are able to improve these margins. Smoothing of raw material prices definitely help. One of the elements.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Numbers. Wanted to ask, over and above ethanol, maybe this is a little broader question. And just to understand.
Sorry, Dhananjay. We are not able to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Sir, I would request you to please move a little closer to the microphone when you're asking your questions, as you are not audible.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Much better, sir. Thank you.
Sure. So congratulations, good set of numbers. Just this might be a little longer-term, broader question. After ethanol, is there any one like particular segment, like how we have cracked in ethanol, where we see a very long-term opportunity where we can have the same scale-up as we've seen in ethanol, so that where we're excited?
Dhananjay, you probably recall my opening statement where I mentioned about this conference in Goa and the Global Biofuel Alliance and the deliberations that were being held there. I came back extremely excited about the future of biofuels in general.
Okay.
And there were more than 18 senior level ministers from different governments and countries, bilateral institutions, and the deliberations were very, very rich. And one thing was very clear that biofuels are here to stay and grow in a very, very definitive manner. Having said that, I think molecule of ethanol obviously has, and by itself, ethanol has multiple pathways still opening out for it in terms of the E27 program, the flex fuel vehicle advance, the biodiesel, and the ethanol-based chemical. So there are multiple fuels. And then getting very specific to the question that you asked, one of the, in a longer term that you asked, one of the biggest applications that we see globally for ethanol is its conversion to sustainable aviation fuel, because that's a very clear understanding across all agencies that alcohol ATJ, that's the pathway on which you convert ethanol to SAF, is the pathway here to stay with its maximum potential. So that's going to be one big application. CBG or RNG also is developing very, very positively, not only in India, but also outside India. So we will see this and many other iteration comes. Then the third iteration that would come through would be around what happens on the different side of the equation, and that is the renewable chemicals and materials, because what we have talked about so far is only on the energy side of, or the mobility side of, biomobility side of the equation.
Hmm.
So so biomobility will be here. And the next platform that we call as BioPrism, which is the renewable chemical and material, that also will expand, and where ethanol and ethylene both will have a very, very long-term role to play in terms of what happens with conversion efficiency, etc. So I personally believe that we will see an expanding canvas, and which will continue to expand into these different dimensions of biomobility as well as on BioPrism or renewable chemical and materials.
Sure, sir. Fantastic. And so where would we be placed? Let's say, obviously, ethanol we've managed to crack, but let's say in the sides of, let's say, biomobility or the other programs, where would we be in the segment? Have we, the proof of concept has been done, or how would that be looking?
So, Dhananjay, we have obviously puts a great responsibility on our shoulders that if you are leaders in ethanol, then when ethanol starts to branch out to different application and different molecules, we don't give up our leadership position easily, right? So we are very focused on working on that to ensure that we also have, what should I say, our place in the sun when it comes to the other solutions that I mentioned about. So we have no intention to give up. We actually are working both at our R&D center metrics and with our teams to ensure, and our customers, to ensure that we continue to build on that position.
Okay, sure. And would there be, like, be, or is the opportunity so big that it's not be able to, like, quantifiable, or is it too early to even get into all of that for some segments?
It's a little early for me to quantify, because we don't know, but just to give you some idea, and this is, I'm probably trying to think on the run now as you ask this question. Let us say a 1% blend happens for SAF, and I'm just saying 1% blend, okay?
Okay.
That will create an opportunity for about 14 crore liters of SAF in India, I'm talking, not globally, just in India. And when it comes to aviation markets, India is a growing market, fast-growing market, but we are not a big market yet. So SAF, 1% blending, will need 14 crore liters of SAF. That would mean 28 crore liters of ethanol.
Hmm.
Okay, so that's the equation for every 1% in India.
Okay.
In the United States, already a program is announced for 3 billion gallons, which is 1,200 crore liters over the next 5 years. So we will see a very vastly expanding landscape for SAF, which is by far the largest application. Is going to be even bigger than the ethanol itself, because there is a two-step process. It will need ethanol, and it will also need conversion of ethanol to SAF.
Okay. Okay. Perfect, sir. That's a very reassuring. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dhananjay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Lokesh Maru from Nippon India Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations, sir, for excellent set of numbers that you posted again. So just one thing I wanted to get a sense on. In our previous phone calls, you had highlighted that since our base is quite heavy, right, because of the EBP20 wave that we have seen in the last 2 years, this year could be kind of flattish on order intake, but we are seeing growth yet again. And you have also highlighted 5 CBG projects, which could come up to 500 crores confirmation already to be in our next order inflow for the quarter, right? We are also seeing traction across all our segments, be it CPES or could be by end of year 1G ethanol in US. So is it fair to assume or understand that we might outdo our own expectations and rather post 4,000 plus crores of order inflow for the year. Is it safe to assume that, or how would you portray the picture going forward? Since everything is falling in place for us again within adjacent segments of 1G itself for the year.
So, Lokesh, thank you. As we have been talking, that the horizon and the canvas is expanding from a single feedstock, single product to multiple feedstock, multiple product horizon. And we talked about different molecules, ethanol, we talked about CBG, we have talked about SAF, we talked about renewable chemicals and materials, the applications that they expand. So both in India as well as international market, the ETCA segment that we talked about, the clean tech segment that we have mentioned, even this quarter, the order book, the gone quarter order book is reflective of that. So we have seen that we are no longer restricting ourselves just to one segment or one market, but we are actually expanding our offerings and our solutions to a much wider market with wider product range, wider solutions range, with wider feedstock. So it's a multiplier effect. So you're right that so we do not want to be, the EBP 20 is of course a very important program to which we are very proud participant. At the same time, we are also ensuring that as we start to grow forward, we are also able to build alternate avenues which will then take us even further ahead. And that's the game plan that we have, and that's what we are working upon, because we strongly believe, and that's what I was telling Dhananjay earlier as well, that there will be expanding applications of ethanol, which will create multiple opportunities for us both here as well as outside India.
So safe to assume recurring 1,000 crores or plus order inflow for the year, subsequent quarter?
I couldn't catch your question.
So fair to assume 4,000 crores of order inflow for the year?
So that's our aim, that's our target. But we can't commit to that. That's the number which you like to consider from your point of view. But yes, we are not looking for growth, we are looking for growth, and we are looking for higher numbers.
Got that, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay, Lokesh.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Amit Anwani from Prabhudas Liladhar Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is, I just would like to understand what is the current status on 1G yet to be tendered out in crore liters, if you could throw some color on that. And second thing, this FCI ban, and I assume now I think the yet to be tendered out plant would be more focused on grain-based. So can we expect the near-term at least quarter one impact will be there for the domestic bioenergy ordering?
So, you know, when the EBP 20 program was started, then obviously as the program started to roll out, two factors happened. One, of course, as you are aware, that the feedstocks were liberalized to add not only molasses, but the sugarcane-based feedstocks were expanded as to molasses, B, juice, etc., but also starchy feedstocks and the cellulosic feedstocks. So the feedstock got expanded on one hand. And when we went to the first phase, the government is now evaluating as to where are these capacities coming up, in which states of India, what kind of fuel and ethanol requirement are there. And then we know that we mentioned last time that they realized that in 9 states of India, there is still going to be deficit capacity production because not enough capacity is being built in those 9 states. So another 400 crore liters came from there. As we move forward, I think the next stage is what capacities that got ordered out are actually getting built on the ground. And that will be the next test that will be put through. And I think from there, it will start to move forward because it is also our understanding that not everything that got ordered out may get built or may perform at its design plant capacity level. I would like to believe that large plants will work at the design capacity level. There could be different factors that could lead to that from a customer's operation perspective. So I think that will further drive capacity creation. There is another dialogue that we have not talked about yet, but it will start to become material in time to come, and that is the carbon intensity of this ethanol that is getting produced, because as I was mentioning, that we will need ethanol as a feedstock for SAF production. And there the carbon intensity of the ethanol being produced will become a very, very important step. And that itself could create another set of opportunities for low carbon ethanol production in the country. So I don't have a number, but I think this is a rolling ball. And right now we don't see, as I was mentioning in my opening remark as well, that we are not seeing any slowdown in the inquiry pipeline, given the fact that there is a temporary blip right now because of the FCI decision on rice. But we believe that that would not be, the supply chains will have to realign themselves for our customers, and that's what they will do in a short period of time. And that's how we'll move forward in the country.
Right. Yet to be tendered out, if you would like to throw some color there.
No, so there is no tendering of the projects, Amit. What the government does is they look for supply confirmations from the producers. Information that these oil companies get, then they map and see in which state is deficiency or they're going to get it. So it's a very, what I would call, it's a very on-the-ground reality check kind of a process. So once that check happens, then we will know what's the deficit in which state or in which part of the country and where is the supply, where is the capacity, and then it gets sort of readjusted again.
Yeah, so just actually was trying to understand to meet EBP 20, how much crore liters is pending for to be tendered out? If you have any sense.
So as I was mentioning, so there is, this is what I'm going to explain to. There is no tendering out when we right now we're at EBP 10, right? As a country, just between 10 and 12. Now, when that starts to move forward from 10 and 12 up to 20, so there's a step-wise process through which it will go. So the first aim of the government is to actually make sure that EBP 10 is available across the country at all the outlets. So that's the first step. So depending on this volume development across the country and availability, they will decide how much they want. So this is not a fixed number right now. We are at, right now, the current production capacity is able to meet EBP 10. Our target is to go to EBP 20.
All right. So, Max, second question on CBG. Already you highlighted that there will be five plants in pipeline and 100 crore each. Wanted to understand more with respect to viability of CBG plants. And second thing on our market share, any competition there, and what is addressable market out of 100 crore each plant, and what are the capacities in each plant?
So, Amit, there are very different factors right now. So, as we were mentioning earlier, for over the last 1.5 to 2 years, we've been talking about how the CBG market will come into being, given the fact that the whole ecosystem needs to co-develop, and some of it has to happen before, some of it happened along with the plants, et cetera, et cetera. So, we are seeing that movement happen now because, obviously, some of the very important players have started. As I mentioned, Indian Oil is already taken out an EOI for 30 plants. So that ecosystem will start to roll out in a structured sort of fashion. And that is what would lead to creation of this capacity. The five plants that we have talked about, as I mentioned earlier, each plant for us is off the order of 100 crores, and we'll build these five over the period of the next 12 to 18 months.
Right. And this SAF opportunity, are we expecting any orders in next 12 to 18 months, 24 months, any color on that?
Yeah, well, I thought I should also answer one more question that you asked. So, yes, there is competition in CBG space. We are not, there are good companies. There are multinationals. There are India headquartered companies that are competing with us in the field. So that is how it is progressing. What are the questions, SAF?
Is there any visibility in next 24 months to get some orders on SAF?
So I think there is, I do not know. Yes, there will have to be a capacity built because there is none right now. So if we have to go and blend SAF, in 2027, 1st January onwards, there is a compulsion across the world for airlines to start blending, start using blended fuel. So that is for sure. And we can work that backwards. So within next 12 months, surely we should see some kind of what I would call as the attraction on the market. We have talked about the Indian Oil JV. Sachin was mentioning about it being an umbrella JV that covers biofuel. SAF is one of them, and we will work with them to see how countries' needs can be fulfilled under that umbrella JV.
All right, so one last question, if I can squeeze in. This quarter, the order inflow of 1,100 crore, I can see the engineering business at 340 crore, which is much higher than the previous 5-6 quarter averages and even the full closer to the full year last year. So are we expecting this trend to continue as you highlighted the opportunities in the export markets in the coming quarters?
So I think what's important to notice is that engineering businesses will become a significant portion. We have been working on that. I've talked about it. The ETCA opportunity that I talked about in second half of the year will definitely unfold under the engineering umbrella. So we are confident that our engineering businesses will also continue to grow. They are more international orientation businesses, so we'll see that there's export businesses, which is good for the company. So we are confident that as the phenomena of energy transition and climate action starts to unfold, in, as I mentioned, in second half of the year onwards, we'll start seeing a very constructive movement for order booking for our engineering portfolio as well.
Yeah, thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. So just looking at our execution number, we have been able to maintain on YOY basis. But what I was really looking at, slightly better execution given the kind of strong growth in order book as well as now we are reducing seasonality of our execution. So was there any disturbance in execution or was how do we should look at execution pickup going forward?
So Vikram, the way in which these orders got executed during this quarter, and I think in the opening remarks, Shishir was mentioning the same thing. The execution requirement from the customer was of a different nature, and that's the reason how it got resulted into our revenue. We strictly follow the timeline or the ask from the customer for the delivery from our side. So what was required to be delivered, that got delivered in this quarter, one. And two, the timing of order intake is also very important to decide how the execution happens. So we have seen some kind of higher order book coming up in the March month, even though we looked at it from the quarter point of view. So naturally, the initial phase of engineering was going on and not on the delivery side we had done anything for those projects. I think those projects will start coming up in a bigger way from H2 side. So we will see execution far bigger or far more than the H1 as compared to what we are seeing currently.
Got it, yeah. And second
question. Sorry, Vikram, I must also add that monsoon is one more factor which plays an important role in the civil activity. And civil activity is generally in the scope of the customers of ours. Till they are not ready, we just can't put up our plant over there. So we have to wait for that activity to get over. So that's one more element which generally plays its important role in the first quarter.
Right. So I was actually more keen that was that very significant because we also have manufacturing in Gujarat and all. So probably unseasonal rain and other disturbance was there also.
Yeah. So and one more thing which I must tell you, Vikram, from the readiness of from our side for execution or capability building which we had to do on our side, we are ready to take higher loads also, and which we have proven in the March quarter. So there is no problem on our side to get projects executed. It was only the way in which the order booking had happened, the requirement from the customer side, and the last point which I mentioned on the monsoon. Those were the factors which played its role in this quarter.
Yeah, understood, sir. And second question on the CBG projects, we have already discussed a lot, but just to get a sense on the feedstock, what kind of feedstock these projects are on, and particularly will this gas be pushed into CGD networks through pipeline, or basically these are the standalone projects where consumption will be nearby. So if you can give some idea about feedstock and the distribution side of these projects.
So the projects which we just talked about under the LOI, those projects are going to be based on agri-waste. So they are agri-waste-based projects. And The second part of your question was related to whether it is going to get connected to CGD. We'd like to see whether they are going to be a part of CGD network or they are going to be part of the OMC network from the distribution point of view.
It could be a mix of both, Vikram, actually. Depending on how the CGD network develops, customers, an ideal situation is to push this into the CGD network. But it depends on where the plants are and where the CGD networks are. So that's the question that is still, it's not become a determining factor for customers to set up the plant, but obviously if there's a CGD network, it will definitely help.
Okay, and the gas output would be how much in terms of tons or something like that, if you can give some range in terms of output side of capacity for each project?
Each of these plants will be 20 tons per hour of gas. Around 20 tons per day, 20 tons per day of gas,
Okay, got it. Yeah, that was it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Naushad Chaudhary from Aditya Birla. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Some clarifications. Firstly, on the CBG and other future projects, in terms of overall business economics, especially on the margin and working capital side, would it be similar to our existing model or there would be changes in terms of, especially on the working capital and advance from the customer side?
So, because of this CBG or because of this new order inflow which we are looking at, I don't see any significant change in the working capital cycle. The payment terms, the advances, and all that are more or less in line with what we are currently doing. So, I don't see a big change happening on the working capital because of this new order intake which is going to happen.
Okay, and second on the CBG order side, you indicated 30 projects Indian Oil is planning and 5 we have got. Does that mean 25 has gone to other players or is it yet to be announced?
No, sir, both these items or both these statements of ours are independent of each other. 30 plants of IOCL is what been just what I can say announced by them. They have floated the EOI. We are not talking about IOCL related to these 5 CBG plants. We are talking about very different set of customer for these 5 plants for which we have received the EOI. Let me just clarify on this CBG. We are talking about it for a reason because the question was always used to be asked to us that what is happening on CBG front, is there any development or not. Technically, we are for the first time announcing even the LOI on a call. Generally, we don't talk about LOI or we don't put a number for our inquiry basket. But for the first time, we wanted to give you a flavor of what is happening in the market, how the market is expanding, what market is thinking, what we are doing on this one. But let me clarify, these 5 plants which we are talking about are not set of 30 plants announced by IOCL. They are independent of these 5 plants.
Right. And in terms of the size of the plant, if I'm not wrong, initially it was expected to be, lower, 100 crore rupees capex per plant. Is this something at the higher end of the capex or future projects should be of similar size or should be of lower
So it depends what is the capacity going to be for a plant and that's what is going to decide the capex. As earlier mentioned, the capacity is going to be in the range of 20 tons per day. So naturally, capex is going to be on a higher side. Earlier, we used to talk about 10 tons plant, 15 tons plant. So those were a little smaller as compared to what we are talking right now. So the capex will completely depend on what is the capacity of a plant.
And our existing order book does not reflect the CBG orders, right?
Some portion, not of these 5 which we have mentioned, because these 5, again, I'm clarifying, these are LOI, these are not orders. They are not forming part of our order book.
Okay. And lastly, last year we were talking about some biofermentation plant. We had cracked some US-based pharma customers and also some of the project we were working on in the Brazil, and we were expecting it
in FY24. So anything you want to touch upon on these two?
You are referring to our international order or other international project which we executed for pharma grade alcohol?
Yes, yes.
Okay, that was during the period of COVID period. So naturally, the requirement of pharma grade was at its peak, and that's the project which we had executed. Currently, there is no big requirement coming up on a pharma site. So we are not executing any pharma grade alcohol plant right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Ash Shah from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. So I just had one question. The IOC JV will be functional by the end of FY24. So henceforth, whichever CVG plant that IOC puts up, will it be via this JV or will it be open to the outside market competition as well?
The CVG project that gets decided to be put under the JV structure will obviously go through that. And as Sachin was mentioning, the JV is an umbrella JV. So there is special purpose vehicles below the umbrella JV that will actually be set up to put up these projects. To be very specific on the answer, there is no restriction for IOCL not to put up the project outside of this JV or for us to set up the project outside this JV. This is, in that sense, it is not binding to each other.
Okay, and is it the same case for all the other biofuels as well, like SAF, biodiesel and all the other ones?
Yes.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ankita Shah from Lara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So we wanted to understand the margins. So we have seen a good improvement in EBITDA margins and I just wanted to understand the sustainability of the same. So what are the margins we make in the CBG segment and export orders will be in what range?
Ankita, your voice was cracking, but if I have understood your question related to EBITDA margin for CBG and export, our margins more or less for all the bioenergy projects are going to be in some kind of a range. And it's a niche area where we are just putting up now new plants. So it will take some time to discover what will be the right EBITDA levels for CBG projects. Yes, our export projects definitely carry a higher margin as compared to our domestic projects. That much I can tell you.
Exports will be in what range?
Exports will be definitely at least 500 basis points will be higher than the domestic projects.
And why is it so?
For a reason, because in the domestic projects, we execute even the we do the project activity which carries comparatively lower margin as compared to the engineering activity and a manufacturing activity. In the international market, we only do engineering, we do supply of equipment, but we don't carry out project activity there.
There is no site activity.
So that's the reason why these margins are little different as compared to domestic and international.
Got it. And also, sir, I take cognizance of the improvement in the export orders that has happened. But if I look at the segment-wise, bioenergy has gone down, and also on absolute terms, order inflow on a YOY basis has kind of remained stable. So, understanding is the market opportunity for the bioenergy segment is slowing down, or we are slowing down here, or any impact on market share. So just wanted to understand order inflows from the bioenergy segment.
Ankita, I think one quarter numbers would be very wrong for us to make any assumptions. Although what you're saying is very valid observation. As I was mentioning to you earlier, that the the nature of or the pie of the overall pie shape and size and characteristic is set to change for us. We talked in terms of both domestic versus international, so we are saying more international, relatively speaking, more international. That's what I mean. Relatively more. That is not less domestic, but in a percentage term, obviously, the international business starts to grow. It will occupy a larger pie and larger slice of the pie. So domestic business will also grow a different. And as we mentioned, we are not seeing any let-up on the bioenergy pipeline as well, on the 1G ethanol pipeline as well. But if it comes to ethanol as a segment, there again, domestic plus what we'll see on the bioenergy side for the export side as well. We mentioned about the U.S. opportunity, and you and I are both aware that right now U.S. markets are a little slow on the decision-making on owing to the interest rate hikes that are taking place there. But I know from the activity level and our engagement dialogue and what we are doing on the ground in terms of the engineering efforts that I mentioned about the FEL studies that we are doing for several of our customers for the low-carbon ethanol. I think that will just start to, there may be a quarter's mismatch that they won't exactly be matching, but nothing other than that. So I think we are equally bullish both on bioenergy segment and engineering, domestic and export.
Okay. And sir, just one last on the EBP side, you said we have already reached 10 to 12% of blending. So how much awarding is still left to reach 20% blending, and how much can be expected over next one?
So Ankit, as I mentioned, at country level, it's between 10 and 12 now, and we need to go to 20. So that means that the availability of ethanol has to almost double from the current levels, if not more. And then there are other factors that will come into play, that what the regional or state-wise availability, so we may have some imbalances to be corrected out there. There may be another balance or imbalance situation arising out of the fact of feedstock availability. There may be another one out of the operations efficiencies of the installed plants and their capacities and their seasonalities. The monsoon rains, maybe in some state it happens. So those factors will also start to play in. I think we have not gone through one full grain cycle yet, so I think it's the first time that we will go through a grain cycle in this October when we will start to understand what kind of offtake, what kind of stock levels, what kind of supply chain that needs to get established. So maybe a little early for me to comment, but just to tell you that we are still at halfway of our journey on EBP20.
Ms. Ankita, may we request you to return to the question queue for follow-up questions as there are several participants waiting for their turn. The next question comes from the line of Sagar Kapadia from Anvil Shares. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Sagar.
Sir, can you please give me the breakup of the international orders, 385 crore? They're into which segment, energy, bioenergy or engineering?
Sorry, Sagar, will you please repeat your question because your voice is not clear.
Sir, this international orders we have got, 385 crore this quarter.
Yeah.
Can you break them up into the bioenergy segment or engineering segment, this figure?
There is a small segment in this quarter from the bioenergy, but the large component of this is from the engineering business.
Engineering. And sir, from which geography, USA, EU or Brazil, this?
Or the engineering business, yes, it's USA.
USA. Okay, sir. That is what I wanted to say. And sir, one more thing. This 100 crore capex you are going to put in the Praj Gen X. So what is the asset turnover which you have kept for this capex?
So the first leg of investment we are looking at of around 100 crores.
Yeah.
And on the full capacity utilization of this facility, it will be somewhere above 1500 crores.
1500 crores. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jay Shah from Capital PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations, sir, for a good set of numbers. Sir, I just want to know one thing, that, you know, there is so much bullishness and order book about ethanol. But, sir, the byproduct of ethanol, at least in the sugar industry, is the spent wash. And are we also working on any technology where, you know, we can treat the spent wash? Because disposing the spent wash is a big issue, right?
So what's the question?
are we working on technologies that can help also these distilleries to treat the spent wash?
Yes, of course. We already have several solutions in that space. And as you know, all distilleries are now zero liquid discharge. So we have definitive solutions in that space of zero liquid discharge. And depending on what the... So it, somebody can opt for CBG production out of spent wash. Somebody can opt for power generation out of spent wash. And I'm taking that when we use the word spent wash, it's more around the sugar-based distilleries, but there's also grain-based distilleries that will also produce their own equivalent of spent wash. And that is a very fine use in terms of the animal feed, DDGS as it is called. And so there are several solutions, and all of them are available from our end, all of them.
So we have, we already have use cases where these distilleries are using our solutions to treat their spent wash.
Yes.
Okay.
There are already 45 plants in the country that use spent wash for production of biogas, and those plants have been supplied by for many years now.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. That was my question. All the best for the future quarters.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Manish Goyal from Thinkwise Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. Sir, my question is related to in terms of our evolving new technology on 2G for advanced biofuels, as probably the challenge would be there on generating the incremental requirement from non-food-based feedstock. So just like to know, how is our technology partnership with CICAV and GEO evolving for our foray into international markets? And I believe CICAV has already done a pilot plant with the forest material residues. So any sense on how the technology is evolving, and how is Praj relationship building up with these two partners? And then related question in terms of our own independent technology, which we have implemented at IOCL, how is the yield competitiveness improving in terms of how much are we near to the commercial viability as compared to the traditional ethanol? How has it progressed maybe in the last 2-3 years, and where do we see it going forward? And also, we were expecting some breakthrough for 2G technology from the Europe market after some of the customer visits. Any progress on that? And sorry for the longest question, but also related is that is Praj dependent on both these partners, CICAV and GEO, for the international market orders?
Yeah. So, Manish, thank you. Great question. So, first of all, we enjoy a great relationship with both CICAV and GEO. So just to clarify, on the 2G ethanol technology, where a specific question was, we have our own technology when it comes to, well, we have a technology for both, but when it comes to treatment of agri residue, like rice straw, wheat straw, etc., then we call it Infinity, and that is 100% target. When it comes to forest residue treatment for ethanol, the technology is owned, jointly owned between CICAV and Yes, you're right. That SECAB has a pilot plant in Sweden that they operated for many years. But we actually partner with them to help them take the technology development to commercialization level. And we are now ready with it. And the technology is jointly owned between us and SECAB. And we have the responsibility to take this forward in the market, which is what we are doing now. So we are in dialogue with several customers in Europe for both Infinity and Salinity, as we call the technology that we have on the forest residue side to treat. And with GEO, the relationship is different. With them, the relationship is about the entire pathway of the SAF story that we talked about, of saying convert the feedstock to an intermediate alcohol and then convert that to SAF. That is where we are working with GEO. with both, we will work with them when they put up their own projects, and we will also be front-ending the technologies when it comes to Salinity, because that's the role that we have and executing the job as well.
So any like maybe if you can give a sense as to globally how these technologies are evolving and how would Praj be probably positioned in that? And also
For second generation ethanol, we have said this in the past as well, that the most likely first market for this technology is going to be Europe because of the RED III mandates that have been tabled there and approved and passed into law. So we expect that there will be a positive movement on the war through everything into a bit of a turmoil. But now, as things settle down, we are beginning to see reopening of the dialogue. And I'm sure that once the European summer is over and people are back to their workplaces, we'll start to see a traction in that direction as well. So very clearly, Europe is a big market where this will happen. We are into dialogue with several customers to set up these facilities for them. As we go through the year, we'll keep you updated. There are, as you have very correctly surmised, the world is watching the Indian Oil project, which we have just commissioned. And as I was mentioning earlier, there is recalibration required on the supply chain of the feedstock. So right now, we're not able to get the feedstock to our pre-treatment system because of the differently spec'd availability. So that is being corrected now, and as soon as that is corrected, we'll be able to keep you informed on what next. But once that is established, then we will be able to take it to the world.
Okay, but in terms of yield improvement or maybe commercial viability side, what do you expect, sir? Where are we in terms of?
So, Manish, as we see it, the yields are fairly okay right now, and we can keep changing the yields, but then there's also an operating cost question that comes into being at what cost you want to improve the yield. But the good development for both the salinity and infinity space, second generation ethanol spaces, the development of co-products. So I think that is the important dimension there as to what can we do, because when you start treating a straw or a forest residue, several streams come out, the non-ethanol streams as I call them. And these streams have to be then further processed to create higher value-added products. So, for example, we can create biobitumen, we can create renewable natural gas or CBG as we call it in India. We can produce fertilizer. We can produce lignosulfonate. There are different streams that one could take up for valorization. And I think that is important that how the co-products develop. You'll be happy to note that we have already developed the biobitumen stream. We already developed the technology for lignosulfonate. We already developed the technology for RNG. So we've been working here constantly to ensure how can we improve the viability of these projects and these plants. There are other questions as well as to what price the second generation ethanol gets priced at because it is very low carbon intensity ethanol. So obviously it is very different from the other ethanol. This will have a very important role to play when the SAF market starts to develop. So we will see this development. This is slightly long term, but this is what we will see in this space. I hope I answered the question.
Yes, sir. And sir, when do we expect the two more CB2G plants? It's mentioned in annual report that AFHPCL and
BPC. They are progressing well. They are progressing well. We have supplied all the equipment from our end that we are supposed to do. The projects are now under construction stage, and we expect that during next year, they will start to go. Second half of next year is when they will go up for commissioning.
And so last question on our pilot plant, which we are probably setting up a polylactic acid and probably food grade as well. So when does that plant start, sir?
That would start at end of this year.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Manish.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to the management from Praj Industries Limited for closing comments.
So thank you everyone for your time today. In case you have any more questions, please feel free to write us at info@praj.net, and we look forward to meet you again in next analyst call. Thanks again and have a nice day.
On behalf of Praj Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.